Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindak, and we're talking about how to thrive in a toxic world. There are so many toxic chemicals out there, and today we're going to find out about some of them because my guest is from healthystuff.org, where they actually are measuring toxic chemicals that are in consumer products. Today is Monday, June 3rd, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. But before we talk about toxic products, I want to talk to you about something that I realized over the weekend. I realized that in my life, even though I'm a very disciplined person, I'm actually self-disciplined, there were still some things that I was not applying discipline to in my life. And I realized a couple of things. One is that the word is not discipline, it's self-discipline. I looked up the word discipline in the dictionary, and what discipline means is, quote, the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Well, that's not what I'm doing to myself. I'm not punishing myself to correct my own disobedience. I decided that what really the definition of what it was that I was trying to find a word for was the practice of training oneself to learn and apply actions in one's life that contribute to a high degree of survival, and doing those things joyfully on a regular and reliable routine, despite distractions or encouragement to the contrary. So, you know, when you say, well, I should be eating salad and you want to eat chocolate cake instead, to eat the salad is self-discipline. And if we're going to create a toxic, a non-toxic world, a toxic-free world, then what we need to do is use self-discipline. We need to decide that we are going to make the right choice, the toxic-free choice, despite other desires or interests that we may have. That we need to decide that to live toxic-free is the most important thing. I have a quote here from Theodore Roosevelt, used to be a president many decades ago. The one quality which sets one man apart from another, the key which lifts one to every aspiration while others are caught up in the mire of mediocrity, is not talent, formal education, nor intellectual brightness. It is self-discipline. With self-discipline, all things are possible. Without it, even the simplest goal can seem like an impossible dream. That's Theodore Roosevelt. So let's all use self-discipline to create the things that we want to create in our lives. So now I'd like to welcome Jeff Gerhardt. He's the research director for HealthyStuff.org, a project of the Ecology Center that tests brand name consumer products for the presence of a list of chemicals of concern. They rate products as being of high, medium, or low concern. Welcome to Toxic Free Talk Radio, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me on, Deborah. Look forward to chatting with you.
Me too. One of the reasons why I'm so interested in talking to you is because you and I have both been working in the field of evaluating consumer products for toxic chemical exposures for years. And so I think we have some things to discuss, especially your project at HealthyStuff.org. But let's start. Tell me how you personally got interested in toxic chemical exposures, which led to your position as research director for this project.
Sure, and I guess following up on your introduction to the program, one of the things that I always emphasize is that when we're dealing with these issues, it's really difficult for consumers to shop their way out of these problems. And ultimately, we have to realize that we're looking at products that have significant impacts both during their use phase but throughout their life cycle. And we really have to begin to look at the issues of consumerism and consumption, and what level is that truly going to be sustainable. So
I completely agree with you. And I want us to talk about those today. But first, I'd like to introduce you and the project to my listeners.
Sure. I've been doing this work for around 20 years, and we originally started doing work looking at manufacturing practices related to a variety of consumer products. We worked extensively on the automobile industry, looking at how cars are produced. That work really evolved to begin to want to look at the products themselves and to look at ways in which we could benchmark a wide variety of consumer products for chemical hazards and create a transparent, publicly available online system in which we could use original test data to actually communicate information to consumers and then help to have consumers become an important part of educating and pushing companies to actually manufacture more sustainable products. We started actually 6-7 years ago on working on vehicles, and then since then we've tested and benchmarked everything from cars to toys and other children's products, pet products. We've done building products. We've done apparel, textiles, and shoes. We've done screenings on makeup and those types of products. And then most recently, this spring, we did our second annual screening of yard and garden products. So looking at things that you use in the garden and out in the yard, with one of the highlights of that research being looking at garden watering hoses.
So what is the basic idea behind what you're doing? What is it that you want consumers to do with this data?
The basic idea behind our project really is to test for chemical hazards that are in these products and then provide that information to the public. I'm sorry, was that what you were asking?
Well, yeah, because one of the things that, I mean, obviously I've been on a parallel path for 30 years, but I think that we have like a different starting point of why we're doing what we're doing. But I think that we want a common end point, which is to not have toxic chemicals in consumer products. But I heard what you said earlier about needing to look at the life cycle and look at manufacturing and all of those kinds of things, and that we can't shop our way out of toxic exposures. But in a way, consumers can make choices if they have the right information. They can make decisions that make their own exposures less toxic, that peripherally may or may not improve the environmental situation. And I agree that we need to be looking at the bigger picture. But I when I look at your site, and this is not meant to be a complaint or a derogatory comment at all, when I look at your site, it's difficult for me to make a choice about a product. And so part of why I wanted to have you on as a guest is because I'd really like to understand the best way to use your site and how it can help consumers in the best way possible. Because I see you giving a lot of different choices, like high, medium, and low concern, but that's just telling me a degree of concern. Is the point to have consumers not buy the high products and buy the low products, or what is it that you'd like them to do? And I'm going to have you answer that right after the break, because it's coming up in 3, 2, 1. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with my guest, Jeff Gerhardt, Research Director for HealthyStuff.org, and the URL is obviously HealthyStuff.org, where you can go and look at the test results of more than 100,000 products that they've tested for toxic chemicals, and these chemicals that they're testing for are not necessarily on the label, but are in the products. And so, well, Jeff, I asked you a question before the break, but maybe we should go back to your original statement, and I'll just ask you to state it again, that you were talking about that we need to not be shopping our way out of the problem, but that we need to look at sustainability and life cycle and all of those things. So would you just make that statement again?
Yeah, sure. I can do that, and then I can answer your other question.
Okay, good.
We've tested thousands of consumer products, and we think it's vitally important that consumers have this information so that they can utilize it in making better decisions about products they choose to bring into their home or office. And so that's why we do the testing. But we also, as part of doing the testing, we like to highlight some of the broader sustainability issues related to some of these products and materials. And as part of that, look at issues related to sustainability. So for instance, one of the things we've tested was cell phones. And one of the ongoing issues with the mobile phone industry is this ever-increasing shorter and shorter product life cycle. And so one of the issues there is, you know, how does, in addition to the actual chemical hazards, but there's a sustainability issues in terms of many of these products are not repairable. They're designed essentially to fail and only last for a certain length of time. And all of that, those things increase the amount of materials, energy that's required to manufacture the product. So those are issues that are important for people to understand. When you look at our website, healthystuff.org, we evaluate products we test for a limited set of chemicals that we can rapidly screen for, and we evaluate those results based on comparison to our own standards. So we do not screen products to regulatory standards. The standards that we screen them to are far below regulatory standards, and that's because we have screened third-party standards from around the world, and have set up benchmark criteria for the levels of chemicals that we consider healthy in these products. And based on that, those levels, we establish a high, medium, or low level of concern for products. So if you see a product on our site that has a low level of concern, that tells you that it had levels below the most restrictive levels we could find that anybody's certifying products to around the world was in that product. If it has a high level, then that means that it had chemicals that were exceeding levels that we established. It probably had chemicals that were exceeding regulatory levels. So those three criteria can be used as a way to navigate the products out there that we test.
Good. That makes sense to me. So one of the things that, so when I go to your site, I look for a product. Like the other day, let's just talk about, you've just recently done garden products. And somebody asked me, they went to your site and asked me about garden gloves because they looked at your site and they were confused. They said, well, here, what about these different materials? And so you don't have anything on your site about, like, explaining what different types of materials are. Like she was asking me, well, what's the difference between nitrile and latex and PVC and things like that? That's not a function of the scope of your work. The scope of your work is simply to test the products and give the data on this limited list of chemicals. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we do on the site is which I think is unusual for sites that do this, is we do the product testing, and then we provide the raw test data, and then we provide a system to interpret that data. So we give an overall product rating on the top level that people can glance at, get a quick take a quick evaluation of the product, but if people are really interested, you can scroll down, you can actually pull up test data on individual components, and we provide that in a raw form and let you review and interpret that yourself. We are, you know, I think the issue of materials and polymers and understanding the difference between those is really where the most important work is going on in this area. We actually don't provide a lot of background for that on our site.
Yeah.
But a lot of what's going on with industry right now is really looking at polymer chemistry, health and safety issues related to different polymers, looking at additive stabilizers that go into different polymers, and really trying to move the manufacturers into healthier, safer materials for all their product lines. I think the one polymer we do highlight actually a lot on the website is vinyl or PVC. You know, particularly in reference to children's products, but also it pops up all over the place. And PVC as a natural or in its normal form is a really brittle plastic, but it's oftentimes used in a flexible vinyl application. And in order for it to be flexible, it needs to have 20 to 40% phthalate or plasticizers put in it. And those plasticizers are not covalently bonded to the material and are released over time by the product. And oftentimes requires other additives in order to get the PVC to perform an engineered function. So we do, caution people when they're out looking for products that, you know, one of the high level things to do is try to avoid vinyl in product as much as possible.
I completely agree with that. And, you know, I think that one of the things, this whole subject can be extremely confusing, and that if people were to just take one material, like PVC, and just say that they were going to take the PVC out of their house, then that would go a long way if they knew what the most important ones are, like PVC. And we'll be back and talk more about this after the break. I'm Deborah Lynn Dack. This is Toxic Food Talk Radio. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Jeff Gearhart, Research Director for HealthyStuff.org, where they test brand name consumer products for the presence of a list of chemicals of concern. They then rate these products as being of high, medium, or low concern. And one of the things you can do as a consumer is look at the list of products that have a low concern rating, and those would be less toxic, and avoid those that are of high concern. So, Jeff, you just did a study of garden products, including hoses and garden gloves. And I'm at your homepage at healthystuff.org, and there is a big article about hazardous chemicals found in gardening water hoses. Tell us about that study.
Well, we had gotten a lot of requests from consumers that were interested in this type of product and wondering what was in these products for many years. So last year we did our first study. We looked at over 100 different products, ranging from gardening gloves to shovels, garden hoses, and other products last year. And by far the product category that we were most concerned about was the garden watering hoses. And these are products that are not regulated as potable water products, so they're not required to meet U.S. Safe Drinking Water standards for lead content, for instance.
Children are drinking out of them, and we're watering our organic gardens with them.
Yes, and I think that was it's interesting to consider that, yeah, it is a product that we do use to essentially take potable water, and oftentimes and water our gardens. So a high percentage of these hoses historically have been made out of PVC vinyl, and many of them are made out of PVC vinyl that is recycled or recovered products. So that means that they could have vinyl in them that was used for doing wiring insulation or any other type of vinyl product, where there may be additives or other chemicals that are used in the vinyl that wouldn't be appropriate in any ways for a product that that holds water. So yeah. when we did the testing, we looked for, I think, some obvious things. One, we wanted to look at the lead level, both in the vinyl as well as the brass fittings. Many types of brass will contain a significant level of lead to make it more machinable. And that's why there's lead restrictions now on domestic drinking water fixtures, which can have no more than 2,500 parts per million in the lead and the brass parts in there. But also the lead can show up in the vinyl, where it's used as either a stabilizer or it can show up as a pigment. Other things we found in the hoses were, we actually found some hoses that had a high amount of recycled content, actually had flame retardants in them.
Oh, no.
And we believe those were showing up in some of the hoses from some of the regrind and recycled content that was being just dumped into the vinyl that the hoses were being made out of. And then the last thing we found that didn't surprise us, but we were surprised that we consistently found it, is when we tested the water that came out of the hoses after we held the water in the hoses, we found bisphenol A in the water that came out of the hoses. And it ends up that bisphenol A is an antioxidant. It's used in the manufacturing of PVC, and you often get a residual amount of it that goes along for the ride into the finished consumer product, and it can migrate out into water. And we found levels of both bisphenol A and phthalate plasticizers in the water that were 2 to 8 times higher than the applicable drinking water standards for those chemicals, even though that this is not a regulated product. But for comparison, we found levels that exceeded the drinking water standards for these chemicals in the hoses. So, but the real takeaway from this that we wanted to emphasize is that it's a really interesting study in materials, kind of material science, in that there are other products on the marketplace that are much healthier and safer. So we've highlighted both natural rubber products as well as polyurethane polyurethane plastic hoses that are on the market now that don't contain any of these harmful additives that we found in the PVC hoses. In fact, some of the polyurethane grade hoses are made out of medical grade polyurethane that is certified to meet much higher standards than other plastics that are going into consumer products. So part of the interesting answer on this is that we know manufacturers can manufacture and produce healthier products. Some of the companies that are actually making the vinyl products actually make some of the alternative products. So we know that and that there's a big market demand for them. Between the first year we did this study and the second year, we've seen a proliferation of more products on the on store shelves that are manufactured using alternative materials. So on one hand, it's a great story of the impact consumers can have in the marketplace by just saying they care about this stuff and by using their purchasing power to buy products that are going to be healthier and safer.
I totally agree. Consumers have so much power, and most consumers don't know that. They think that they need to just take whatever it is that the manufacturers or the retailers are putting on the shelves, but they don't, because what changes it is what people want to buy. That there's such a thing called a focus group, and manufacturers use these all the time to find out what does the public want so that they can give it to the public and have more sales. And so the more we tell manufacturers either by writing to them or calling them up or asking for what we want, or just not buying toxic products and buying the non-toxic ones, the more non-toxic products we're going to have. So I went to healthystuff.org website, and there's a big box at the top, a big blue box that says search here, and I entered garden hose into that search box. Garden hoses came, with an S on the end, came up with nothing. But if you put in garden hose, then you get a big long list of garden hoses. And after the break, we'll talk about what's on the list. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio with our guest Jeff Gearhart from HealthyStuff.org. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm here with Jeff Gearhart, Research Director for HealthyStuff.org. And you can go to their website, HealthyStuff.org, and find a rating of high, medium, or low concern for more than 100,000 products that they've tested of different kinds. Jeff, I'm now on your search results page for Garden Hose, and I see, first let me tell my listeners that you can change the sort order when you go to this page. So you can sort it by which ones of high or low or medium concern. You can sort by manufacturing year, the name of the product, the brand or make. You can sort whether you want high or low or A to Z. So there's a lot of control over the data that you can do. Yeah. So if I wanted to buy a garden hose, I can actually look right here and see 5 garden hoses that had no toxic chemicals in the testing. And I could just stop right there and say I'm going to decide to get one of those hoses. But it's pretty interesting to me because during the break, I was looking down the list. And here's one. Purple coil hose with nozzle. The brand is Renew Room Essentials. And if you click through, you find they sell this at Target. So, but as I go down the list, there's something called green coil hose with nozzle, also made by Renew Room Essentials, and Room Essentials coil hose with multi-pattern, also low. So you can't really make an assumption that if the purple one or the red one has none, that the green one is also going to have none. It really is very individual. Jeff?
Yes. One of the things you'll see is if you do this testing long enough is when you try to kind of come up with generalizations for giving people guidance on products, it's oftentimes really challenging because, and I think in this for garden hoses, I've had a long conversation with one of the companies that actually manufactures polyurethane hoses, which is one of the material types that we recommend. And one of their hoses actually had a fitting on the end that actually had, we picked up lead in. And so, you know, it's oftentimes, there's challenges in terms of getting all the materials and components correct in a product. And this is a pretty simple product. You have hose material, you have a fitting on the end. And so, you know, I think oftentimes it leaves consumers in a bit of a frustrating situation. Really, we need to have, in the end, we need to have manufacturers be able to provide, sometimes you call it an environmental product declaration or some type of disclosure of what's going on with their product. So you can go and you can buy any food product and you get a fairly detailed ingredient list about what you just bought. It doesn't give you everything and it's not perfect. But when you go buy these types of products, in fact, most of the products you go out and purchase in the economy, you do not get any disclosure of what you bought as part of that product.
Well,
ultimately, we need to...
Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to kind of shift the burden to manufacturers and retailers of this product, of these products, to actually provide that information to consumers. And we can do part of that by screening relatively small numbers of these products to actually make the case that this is the type of information that consumers should be able to get on every product. But ultimately, we have to get the system that manufactures these products to actually have this become part of the business relationship that a retailer has with a supplier and a manufacturer, and then have that be part of the commerce that we're engaged in, that you get, in addition to the product, you get information.
Yes. I cannot say yes enough times. This is something that I've been saying for 30 years, and I'll continue to say, because, and I've also worked on the other side. I mean, I'm basically a consumer advocate, but I've also worked with manufacturers on helping them choose materials and how they describe their products. And I've actually come up with labels that had a lot of disclosure on them for some products that are no longer being sold for a variety of reasons. But I want to know everything. It's like but part of it starts in the education and the intent of the manufacturer. You have to start with a manufacturer that has an intent to produce a non-toxic product. And then that manufacturer needs to examine every component of every material, the material of every component that's in the product. So in the case of garden hoses, he would need to look at the material of the hose and the material of the nozzle. He'd need to have enough knowledge of what might be in each of those materials to be able to choose one that doesn't have toxic chemicals. And then he needs to say on the label, my hose is made out of blah, and my nozzle is made out of this, and they've been tested for da-da-da-da-da, and there's no toxic chemicals in them. And that's what the label should say. And if every manufacturer were to say honestly what is in their products and reveal their toxic components, even if they didn't even say what was toxic about it, but if they were to say there's PVC in this, and a consumer then could go look up PVC somewhere and find out, well, if it says PVC, it means this and this and this, people would stop buying those products in droves.
Absolutely, and I think you highlight, I think it's the at a fundamental point, it's the intent and motivation of the company that's manufacturing the product. You know, we you know, there's a focus on the functional nature of the product, but I think we've quickly moved to a time when that's not enough, and you need to have some broader motivation and intent in terms of how you're manufacturing and the broader sustainability around the product. And really, this whole issue of disclosure, you know, we're moving, you know, I believe in the next 5 to 10 years to a point where it's no longer going to be tenable to be able to retail these types of products without having some sort of bill of materials and composition that comes along with those products. So companies that are dragging their feet and are resisting this, I think, ultimately are not going to be as competitive as the economy moves to that. And I think companies that are embracing that and moving towards full disclosure of contents in their products are going to be better positioned competitively to succeed in the marketplace. So I think that's a message that we've conveyed to retailers, manufacturers of all sizes, from mom and pop to major big companies, that this is a marketplace trend. Consumers are demanding it, and it's going to be advantageous to be at the beginning of the wave and not at the end of it. And so we really encourage consumers to stick with this. We know it can be frustrating at times because we're still living in a marketplace with a lot of imperfect information, sometimes contradictory information, but the message is being heard by manufacturers and retailers that this is important to consumers, and it is going to result in, it continues to result in marketplace changes that I think are going to be really profound in the near term here.
I think so, too. I just want to say, because we're coming to the end of our time, that one of the things that HealthyStuff.org does is that not only are you testing all of this, but then you go to manufacturers, like I see on your homepage, it says retailers called on to stop selling products. These hoses can leach phthalates and BPA into water. And so you're not just like doing this testing, you're also using the test results to take action, to go to manufacturers and say, this is what's in your products, and consumers are demanding safer products.
Yep.
And consumers then can use this data to say, I'm not going to buy those products. And so this is a very important step that you're doing of finding the hidden toxic chemicals and alerting people about them. Whether that results in an easy product choice for the consumer, whether it does that or not, it's a step that needs to be done so that there's a change in the way things are manufactured and what the awareness is. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope you'll come and be a guest again as you do another study and there's more to tell. I've learned a lot today, and I really appreciate that you came.
Well, it was nice to talk. Yep.
Thanks. Okay, so you've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Jatt. We've been here with Jeff Gearhart, Research Director for HealthyStuff.org. You can go to HealthyStuff.org and find more. You can go to my website, ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and find out more about this show and more about how you can choose products that are toxic-free. So tune in again, where we will continue to talk about how to thrive in a toxic world.